This is Trevor Davis. I'm sounding the alarm. Today's July 15th, 2008. From Isaiah chapter 58. Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. They seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. This prophecy describes a religious people that have a system, that have an appearance. They even fast, and they afflict their soul, and they notice that God seemingly doesn't even regard it. And they ask why to the Lord in this prophecy of Isaiah 58. And God says, behold, in the day of your fast, you're finding pleasure. You're doing your own thing, but you're making an appearance as if you were to afflict yourself to seek me. You exact all your labors, and you're taking advantage of people right down to the minutest detail, your self-interests. In verse 4, it says you fast for strife and debate. You're trying to win your own cause. You smite with the fist of wickedness. You're harming others. And God says this isn't the way it should be in his kingdom. You know, God is always trying to teach us the right way. We either have cold, callous hearts of stone, or we have hearts of flesh that are pliable and sensitive to his voice. And God's patient to teach us that we would grow up into a new man that's in Jesus Christ. But there's a dividing line being laid, and we're either going to be sheep or goats, obedient or disobedient, yielded or resisting. And the Spirit of the Lord is calling you and I to serve him in these great days that are upon us. God has many blessings and promises if you'll heed his call, his voice. It'll be well with you. It's like a man that digs deep and lays a foundation and builds his house upon a rock. And then when a storm of life comes, it will beat upon the house, but because of the foundation of hearing and obeying God's word, you'll stand. You'll stand strong in the Lord. But if you do not, great will be the destruction of it. God has blessings and he has cursings. But choose to delight yourself in the Lord. And God says in the last verse of Isaiah 58, I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And Isaiah 59 goes on and says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, and he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perversity. None calls for justice, nor pleads for truth. And they trust in vanity, and they speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. God is speaking to his own people, yet alone the world. And his own people are to be the salt of the earth and to be a light. Too much, too often. There's no distinction between the religious world and the world. But Christ is coming back. He's looking for a pure bride. And there will be a bride. There is a remnant that love him and are like him. And he dwells in their midst. This ought not be in the house of the Lord. This ought not be in those that profess faith in Jesus Christ. Is he your Lord? Is he your King? Is he your Master? And you feel convicted right now of these sins. You can ask for forgiveness. You can humble yourself before your God and draw near to him and find the washing and cleansing and deliverance from the powers of these sins. The scripture talks about these people that they're like cockatrice eggs and weave spiders' webs. He that eats of their eggs dies, and that which is crushed breaks out into a viper. The web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they've not known. There's no judgment in their goings. They have made crooked paths. Wherefore, whoever goes therein shall not know peace. Therefore, is judgment far from us? Neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noondays in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there's none. For salvation, but it's far from us. Listen. This is what it will be like if you reject the call to repent before the Lord and amend your ways. Abide closely to the Lord. Because there's 10 virgins. 5 are wise, 5 are foolish. And when the sound comes that the master is coming, the foolish virgins will recognize the hour but not have oil in their lamp. They will not see. They will not have judgment. They will realize they are lost. And they will have the reward of their pernicious ways. And there is a reward for those that serve God. And the Lord is saying, I am judging the earth. I'm making a distinction between him that loves me and him that loves me not. I look for my son in my people. And they are hidden. And their sins I do not recognize, and they are blessed. But I will make known my fury against the wicked, and they will be cut down as a herb. And as the grass they shall perish away. But blessed is he that puts his trust in the name of the Lord. John the Baptist's father was Zacharias, and there's a wonderful prophecy in Luke chapter 1, verse 67 and following. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a strength of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we would, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for you shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. This is such a glorious prophecy. One of which the forerunner in John the Baptist, declaring the coming of the Messiah, the King, again by the spirit of Elijah in the prophet, preparing the way of the Lord. This same Jesus Christ is coming again. He's fulfilled the prophets, he's fulfilled the prophetic word, and he's provided the way of salvation. Call on him. Call on him. Here reads the paradox that Jesus talked about amongst the religious system in his day, and recorded in Luke 13:23 and following. Then said unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and shut to the door, and you begin to stand without or outside, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in your presence, and you have taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out. You know, this scripture speaks so loudly today. There's many that believe. They ate and drank in the presence of the Lord, and they have heard the teaching of Jesus in the streets. People going to religious circles. Then in the presence of the Lord, enjoyed the fellowship with others and with the Lord in his presence. And even on a day-to-day basis, while they drive their car, listening to religious talk on the radio or CD. But see, it's not enough to just be in the presence of the Lord. It's not enough to just hear the teaching. The Lord is looking for us to be doers of his word, changed, transformed by the renewing of our mind as we present our body to God as a living sacrifice to do his will. This is our reasonable service. You don't want to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You don't want to tell the Lord about the religious things you've done when you know that you've not been changed from the inside out. You must have love. You must be kind, not violent and doing harm to others. Not be extracting all your own self-interest, as we read in the prophet Isaiah. God has great promises for us. He has an eternal purpose for us. And these days that are coming are troublesome, filled with anguish and violence. And the Lord has told us to be prepared so we wouldn't fall away, so we wouldn't be discouraged. This time, more than ever, is the time to be so close to the Lord, so anchored in him, so knowing him, that it doesn't matter what comes, what persecution, what betrayal you experience. If you know the Lord and you know him that is invisible and you have total assurance in him, you know that this time that's coming is only for a moment. And there's a far more eternal weight of glory coming. I'm encouraging you now to make your salvation sure. Now to change. Now to be about the Father's business. And let that light that comes by interacting with the Lord radiate and minister to others in these days. And in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, it talks about a new heaven and a new earth. And the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And there was a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of the heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." He said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Chapter 22. "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega,